What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Swiggity, sweetie. It's your girl, Smoochie.
And I'm... See, if you don't say I'm Smoochie, then it fucks mine up. I can't go like, I'm a dickhead or whatever. Anyway, and I am not missing Minnie that much. We have so much more room in here. Like, you... It's so surprising how much a 60-pound guy can take up room.
60 pounds.
Yeah, if you're watching us online, you'll notice we're zoomed in a little bit more now that it's just the three of us.
So you can see our beautiful facial hair.
Yeah, Emilio's growing out his beard. I actually did my hair and a little bit of makeup today, not wearing my incognito hat that I normally wear when I stream either.
Bobby's barely here. He almost did it. He almost died last week.
Yeah, so we missed an episode last week, and I apologize. That's all my fault. I was incredibly sick with the flu. I don't get sick that often, but when I do, apparently I take it to 11. This time last week, I could barely move. I was sleeping like 16 hours off and on, waking up every hour, just terrible, terrible. Thank you for everyone on Discord who sent me some well wishes, too. That was nice. But yeah, it's been an interesting week because of it. I have not played that many games. I didn't have an energy drink for a week. Like, there are a lot of things I didn't do that I normally do.
Now's the time to quit, dude. If you've gone a week, that means you can like...
quit energy drinks?
Mm-hmm. You should give it a shot.
Yeah, but no solid foods, that's a norm. So you didn't really eat much this week.
Were you just sucking those things down?
Oh, no. I couldn't eat when I was sick. I tried having one of these, and it tasted so bad. I had to force myself. I ate, like, one Soylent last Monday, and then the following day, I was just kind of forcing myself to eat as well. But, yeah, it was not pretty.
You know, in the UFC, sometimes when somebody goes five rounds of getting their ass kicked, like, real bad, a lot of times what the announcers and, like, analysts say is, like, that changed that man. Like, he's a different person after that fight. Oh. He lost a little bit of his soul that night. Like, it's going to affect him in the long run.
You mean he didn't turn Super Saiyan after getting beat to pulp and become stronger? No.
There was a guy one time, one in particular, who did change. He was a different person after the five rounds. He was never the same. At the fifth round, he knocked himself out only by just, like, he kind of, like, fell over and just hit his head, and he knocked himself out. That was the end of it. That's how much he had given that fight. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing it up is being that sick, to the sick where, like, you don't know where time is passing, you're cold, you're hot, you're shivering. I've been there too, and I think, yeah, it fucks with your longevity. It probably took like a month off your life being that sick.
So maybe a little piece of you died.
You're low, Bobby, by the way. I'm hearing you more on the outside of my headphones than on the inside.
Maybe I'm just not talking into my mic. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's lower than usual.
Yeah. I'm having to lean down to talk into it since I'm using a different mic stand. But you can't argue with all this free space right here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, normally I'm clogging up Bobby's personal space here. So, but hopefully you can hear him okay.
Yeah, I'll turn myself up a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, Bobby. That was the first time in history, DLG history, we missed...
A week. 5 years.
Not me. I've missed many episodes.
But. No, you know what? Fuck you guys. I just realized. Huh? Because when I was sick, you guys went right on along without me. And then with Bobby sick, the whole show started that. But then I realized nobody knows how to turn any of this shit on. Yeah, like we need to have a checklist on the wall of, like, turn these knobs and raise these levers. Uh-huh.
Well, if Minnie had been here, he could probably figure it out.
Yeah, that's
true.
He
was the next closest to knowing how to operate all this. But, yeah, the burden is on me.
Yeah. So, yeah, we lost our, the CPU? What's the thing that just really drives everything, Bobby?
Yeah, the CPU, probably.
He got the flu screen of
definitely
death.
The graphics card. I'm getting drunk.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So, we've got a little something to announce here, a little project that we are working on. Amelia, you want to tell people about the WASD project?
Yeah, man. So we are officially affiliated with something that's in its fledgling stages. Literally, we need a logo. Let me talk a little bit about what it is. WASD stands for Warriors Against Suicide and Depression. And this is something started by Mobius, one of our moderators on our Discord. He did I was going to call it a fan build, but he did a build for a soldier in need.
Yeah.
And if you know the statistics, it's really bad. Really, really bad. Suicide amongst the vets is something like...
higher than accountants.
Bobby, can you do that? Because I want to do a disservice by throwing a wrong number out. Like suicides per day among vets. It's fucking terrible. So he built this thing, and he solicited like NVIDIA and EVGA actually was very helpful. They supplied a lot of the stuff. Mm. So where are we at? So one every 65 minutes.
Wow.
It's not okay.
Roughly 22 veterans per day.
That is not okay, guys. At all.
And that's so, mostly from PTSD or...
who knows if a computer's going to turn it around, but it might help fucking get a cool ass rig. And you know what? What I was like talking about the whole thing is like once they get it, if we have a Discord ready for them to go, not ours specifically, but like a WASD where like they could talk to other vets and just get a community going. Mm-hmm. I think it could really help them out, especially if they're playing, you know, whatever.
If it could save one life, or yeah, even
it's worth it. The whole thing is worth
or
it.
Even. You know, save somebody that one day or give them an extra day. That's amazing.
Yeah, I support of course.
100%.
Yep. And I like this a lot. The recipient of the first computer that Mobius did mm-hmm. is on the board. So because of people that are contributing. And it's good because he has a perspective of the recipient side, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we need a logo. And even though if you're not... like you haven't done this before, don't make a logo. We just need ideas. Mm-hmm. Send them to me directly or Bobby directly or Chi. It doesn't matter. Mobius. Just what are some cool ideas? Obviously, we thought about the keyboard and stuff, the WASD, obviously, in camo. We thought about that. But whatever. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. Because logos and websites are really important.
I think this is an amazing project that Mobius is jump-starting. Mm-hmm. And this is something that's close to home. And also in our city itself, San Diego being such a military town, I'm sure there are so many people who are willing to jump aboard.
Yeah. One last thing. The website, too, we're going to have to work on that. If somebody can do some pro bono work, that'd be fantastic. This is really,
I know someone.
Cool. That'll be something really good to have on your resume.
That's amazing. Yes.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about some games. So we've got quite a bit in the show notes here because we missed a week. I had put on the radar Return of the Obra Dinn, and I know this game did not come out recently, and we all know about it and have talked about it, but it's come to my attention recently just because it's getting so many awards. I can't even remember the...
I remember at the Game Awards, it got at least two.
Yeah, at the Game Awards. And then there was a recent award show, and I can't remember what that was, but it cleaned up there. And also, I've been going back and watching some old Zero Punctuation episodes and also Jim Sterling's, like, you know, top five games, top worst games of the year. You know, all those videos are coming out because it's the end of the year. And this game is consistently on people's top five favorite games of some journalists that I follow. So I think I'm going to pick this up this week. It's $20. It has not gone on sale. Doesn't look like it's going to, but just the reviews are so stellar that I feel like I'm really missing out by not playing this. So this might be the game that I get into this week.
All right. That's great.
I feel like one of us should play it.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it more of a walking simulator?
No, I heard a little bit of it described in one of these short reviews when someone was talking about their top five games of the year, and I quickly stopped listening because I just wanted to go into it fresh.
Mm. Oh wow!
But
it's murder solving, right?
Yeah, sort of. Solving.
I don't know.
Yeah,
let's play it and then we'll talk. I guess because otherwise it'll just be all what's that called?
Conjecture. All right, Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah, we talked about this before that it was announced and stuff, but they actually, and I clicked the link, Bobby, because they had their own thing go off. Like they had this thing in LA where just this one game was being shown. And so they had their own thing. And what are these guys called? CPN?
EPN.
EPN. Yeah, I like EPN. That guy. He sounds like a real anchor man. And he does a really good job.
He looks like one.
Yeah, he looks like one too.
I recognize him from something.
He does a little too much. They're going down to, but anyway, it doesn't matter. They went down somewhere in LA. They had this like whole thing just for themselves. It was the launch party. And they were showing like in-game graphics and stuff and talking to some of the devs. I think it looks great. I didn't like, look at these things in the corners. You see those things?
Is that part of the game?
Yeah, it looks like it's some sort of other power bar or whatever. I don't like it. It seems like it frames the entire thing. Who knows if they're going to keep it, but it does not look good. Ronda Rousey's doing the voice of Sonya this year.
Oh, that's so cool.
I thought that was cool. Wasn't excited before, but I mean, this looks fucking super sweet. So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. It's been a while since I played a Mortal Kombat seriously.
I don't know if Mortal Kombat suffer like under impress people when they release? Yeah,
I think somewhere like, I want to say for like 5 to 8 were really? Terrible.
Oh, okay.
I mean, have you ever heard anybody real?
I haven't ever really been enthused when it comes to fighting games.
And then 9 was like heading in the right direction, and then 10 broke the mold again.
Okay, that's good.
And you know what's cool? That guy, that old guy that was just talking, he's been involved since Mortal Kombat 3. So he's like, I'm pretty much just around to keep it true to its form. He's like, that's what me and the other old guys do.
Like, I bet he has like a Catania sex bot.
I'm sure he does. If not, there's one in development.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Catania?
Katana.
Katana? Did I say Catania?
That's okay. It's like a Hispanic katana.
Yeah, I think Mortal Kombat 9 was the last one I had played. And I'm totally not used to the Mortal Kombat. I was always more into Street Fighter and, you know, Marvel versus Capcom, you know, all those really fast paced combo based systems. Mm-hmm. And Mortal Kombat was very difficult for me to get into.
Yeah.
The graphics look really good.
Dude, yeah.
You really have to overplay when it comes to Mortal Kombat, the gore and the graphics. And the only thing I remember, the last time I touched a Mortal Kombat, okay, really funny story, really odd, but Carrie Means, the voice actor for Frylock from Aqua Teen Hunger Force,
okay,
was my friend when I was a GameStop manager in Atlanta, and he's very interesting, let's say the least, and he loved Mortal Kombat, and he gave me his PS4, and shout out to Bill the Heel, too, not PS4, PS3 back then.
Bill the Hill just gave you his PS4, right?
Yes, thank you. Big shout out. Thank you, Bill the Hill.
Hey, by the way, not getting any consoles over here.
I paid
zero
for shipping.
Consoles. Oh, okay.
It's
got to
get home now. But no, so Carrie Means lended me his PS3 to play Mortal Kombat because he had went in and customized. Not Mortal Kombat. Oh, I'm so sorry. The story is about Marvel versus DC Universe. No, it was Mortal Kombat, but he made his characters to look like Marvel versus DC Universe because of the customization, I believe. And so he went out of his way to just give me his PS3 so I can play the game as Marvel versus DC or something. It was strange.
I'm not sure what you just said over the last minute.
It was a weird story, but it was also like a weird friendship that we had. So
that means it got weird at least once.
No. Okay. I did ghost him on the last day, though. It's so sad. I ghosted Carrie Means. I'm a horrible person. Oh, God.
Tragedy.
I don't know what just happened.
No, nothing ever happened. Oh, okay. It's just that he was a patron at my GameStop, but we got along super well, and I think he wanted more than getting along super well, and I was like, can't do it. Sorry.
Every guy you ever meet wants more than...
No.
Yes.
No. Don't, guaranteed. Please don't say that. Please don't say that.
Except for me and Bobby.
All right, next up, Ace Combat 7.
Warconius put this up, and you know, Ace Combat's always been known for pushing the graphics on stuff. Bobby, if you click forward a little bit, you can see some gameplay. I don't know if this is gameplay or not, but man, it looks like damn near photorealistic. Mm-hmm. It's you know, like some of these shots. I don't think our internet's up to snuff right now. It hasn't really come, but anyway, I was really impressed by the graphics. Who knows how it plays? And I think you can play this thing in VR as well. And somebody was saying that, like, you need to have a very strong stomach for that. Oh, here we go. That's what I call gameplay right there.
Oh, let me bring it back. Yeah. So this is a flight sim?
Yeah, man, but it's more like arcade-y.
Yeah,
it's like to racing what Forza Horizons is to like Gran Turismo.
I'm not
going to
get that analogy.
Okay. It's more arcade-y. It's not that technical. All right. You don't need to know how to fly a plane to shoot these, shoot other.
How much are we talking about? $60.
Banco Namco? Whatever they're called.
Bandai Namco.
Yeah, they don't fuck around, dude. It's always $60.
That is that's a hefty price tag.
Yeah, but you know, if you've been a fan of the series.
So this isn't out yet. This is for a pre-purchase.
Yeah, that's why we put it on the radar, Bobby.
Hey, dude, not every game on there is
not
out. So that comes out January 31st.
Yep.
I'm assuming there were other Ace Combat games before this.
Yeah, this is 7.
Yeah.
So that would imply.
You would think so. All right. It's a Japanese game that has nothing to do with it.
I believe it was mostly on console. I remember selling a lot of Ace Combat games for Sony.
It does sound like a familiar Sony series. Systems.
And I imagine it's a game that would be played very well with analog and or joystick. I wouldn't know if you could use actual flight simulation paraphernalia. Is that the right word for this?
Peripherals.
Paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia would be like
naughty.
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
Peripherals for this game.
Damn. Now you got me thinking naughty about airplanes. It's fucked up, G.
Mm. All right. Next.
Is it Rule 34 for that, for airplanes?
Yeah, there's gotta be, right? I mean, for a while there was that whole thing about dinosaurs fucking cars or dragons. Fucking
really?
Cars on Rule 34 for like a month. That's all there was on there. Not that I go on there. I've just heard.
Okay. So one of our listeners, Derpstick, went to Paxt. Which
South.
Paxt? Paxt South. So they got an east, a west, and a south now?
Yeah. They did. They tried north, but the Dakotas said, get the fuck out of here. We don't know what electricity is.
Are we going to get him on a Discord interview? Or
no, we've done that in the past with him, but he was too busy. I.e., he thought the podcast was not cool enough to be on this time.
Because
we're being ripped apart by the loss of many. But
he needs time for grieving.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. So he talked to, PAX is largely about indie games. And he talked to us about his favorite ones. Bobby, Iron Maiden is your shit. Go ahead and click on that.
Iron Maiden.
Yep. But, well, I have links there for you. Ready to go.
Oh, okay.
Just boom. Set up. So this, it says, like, are you tired of imitations? That's the whole thing going on here. Are you tired of people trying to redo, like, Quake? And stuff. So they just did. They're using the actual Duke Nukem engine, and updating the graphics, and so it plays like the old games, but it looks like a newer game. Doesn't appeal to me at all. But I thought it would be good for Bobby.
Hmm. Yeah, does look like that. What was that engine? I can't remember the name of it. Trying so hard. And they all use the same one at that point in time, like the mid-90s.
Mm.
Looks good.
Yeah. No, it looks good for like something on running on that engine for sure.
Mm-hmm. Not meant for epileptic sensitive people, though. It's very flashy.
Bobby, can we get some sound on the next one? I want to go jump over to Swag and Sorcery. Chi, I've never seen a game more made for you ever.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Listen to the music. Read what's going on the screen. Okay.
Oh, the music.
Build your own village.
I'm going to change this to my alarm ringtone.
Beat monsters, collect resources.
Is it co-op? I think I see co-op.
Create equipment for yourself and your characters.
Oh my gosh.
It gets better. Wait. This is where it's going to get there. Help your heroes with powerful spells. Not that one. Next one.
All right. So it's got some side-scrolling combat.
Yeah, but you have three parties going on at once.
Oh, so those aren't...
Dress your heroes fashionably.
Hey, wardrobe. Mm-hmm. I'm for it.
Look, he looks like a disco pirate.
Oh, it's got trees.
tech trees.
Oh my gosh, class trees. That's so cool.
Exciting quests. So the standout here is when you go out adventuring, I think you can have three parties going out at once, and you're not really participating that much. You're just kind of like overseeing. I think it's an auto thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's just like going out there, and then you can do because it's so simple, it does three at a time. But I don't know. That's my guess.
Okay, so the music just makes me assume it's a farming simulator, but I highly doubt it has anything to do with...
Well, there's town building.
Taking over Grandpa's farm and planting crops. No. It does look like it's a... It's cute because you're building up a team, and that's very much classic RPG. And then you're building upon that team, and if you have quests around town and you're building up the town, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
The thing is, though, can you woo all the boys in the village and get married or never married?
I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. That's really interesting, though. This is basically up my alley, but it might be. It's obviously not a farming simulator, but it is almost paying homage in the way it's. What's the word? Revealing itself, especially with the music.
Yeah, for sure.
The combat system is completely different, though. Side-scrolling.
Looks like standard RPG, turn-based combat.
Bobby, the one I'm into is Dark Devotion. Got some of that for me. Pixel art, Souls-like game. Really cool aesthetic.
Mm.
I mean, right away grabs you. This is worth Googling, guys. It's called Dark Devotion. And, you know, it's a 2D side-scroller with a really cool pixel art. Almost a little too dark. It's almost like they spent all this time making it look awesome, and you can't see the whole screen at once because you only have a little candle. But I really like it.
It looks like the light is concentrated on your character as she, that's a woman, right? Maneuvers through the dungeon.
Looks like
it's
a lady.
It's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
It's not as, like you said, it's not as bright as Dead Cells, but it seems really fluid in that asset.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a mission for Minnie. Kind of game.
Yeah, for sure.
And
we don't
very Castlevania. A very Castlevania-esque in terms of like the types of beasts that she was fighting against. It's called Dark Devotion.
He who should literally not be dark. Named to. Also.
No, but we love name dropping Chad. The Chad Bomb.
And Minnie. Never mind. And the last one is Final Assault from PAX. Oh, no, two more. Final Assault. This is so awesome. Look, this is VR game, right? So those are your hands. It's basically like you're playing with toy soldiers against somebody else, and you're maneuvering RTS toy soldiers like if you were just playing in your backyard, but they're animated.
Hmm. That's really cool.
I mean, if you asked 10-year-old Emilio what would have been the coolest thing in the world, it would probably be something cool, close to this.
Yeah.
And Rubber Nuts actually was it? No, I'm sorry. Derpstick offered me a code. So we have a code for this game. And since we don't have a VR right now, that's up for grabs. Maybe we will give it out somehow.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Dude. What?
It's like having your train set and your army men.
Yes.
And you're just watching it play out.
Yes. I love it. I love it all. I hope they pull it off well.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea. I'm surprised it hasn't been done before.
Uh-huh. You're kind of like a god character or a general, they put you here, but you're controlling the battlefield from your hand.
You see the hands and the disembodied head just floating over. He's drawing lines, and that's conducting where different units are moving. I'm wondering if it's... Oh, it's not a Steam page, so I can't tell, but I wonder if it's like online versus or co-op or just single player or how...
Swifty is asking if we have a VR headset yet. We had one last year. So it's tricky. I was waiting for like a really good deal. We have enough money to get one, but I was waiting for like something spectacular, right? But then CES happened and then a whole new set were announced. So I'm going to see if whether or not that's the right move. This new, what's the one that we had?
The Vive?
Yeah, the new Vive. I forget what it's called. It sounded like a dumbed-down version, but I want to see if it's a better version before we move on. Apparently, it does what the old Vive did, but without the towers. So, obviously,
Is it the Vibe Pro?
No. It's, geez, I should know this.
Yeah, I think I remember you talking about this. It had a different name. Oh, my God, ads.
It doesn't matter. Oh. Anyway, I'm just looking for the money spot. Even though like, we could just get it, I want to make sure I'm not buying too far back or too far forward. Just, you know, getting the best deal. Bang for our buck. Bang for your guys' buck. And right, thank you, just, everybody.
Let's just throw this out there. Build a heel. If you have a VR headset, just collecting dust. And if you don't mind sending it our way, we'll pay for that shipping and love you eternally. So, no, I'm just kidding. But, no, yeah, that would be awesome if we could make a decision on VR.
And she will send you a pair of my panties.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got one more here from PAX, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Resident Evil 2 was there as well. There was a playable demo. He didn't get his hands on it. But if you fast forward here, Bobby, you'll be able to see some gameplay, I believe. Yeah, there. Here we go. So, you know, it's about the graphics of the last one, right? She was just read. I'm kind of lost on the whole thing.
So Resident Evil 2, if you don't know, there's a free-to-play demo on Steam. I don't know if it's still available, but it is strictly 30 minutes long, and you can only install it and play it once. You can't go through the demo multiple times, and it's literally 30 minutes. If you make it to the end of the demo or not, you're SOL. The way I would describe it graphically is very much Resident Evil 4, because, of course, it's our lo and behold, the beloved Leon Kennedy over the shoulder. The movement is very similar to Resident Evil 4. I didn't actually get to play the demo, but I virtually watched somebody play through it, and I was making comparisons. It stays true to everything that the original game was, but it ups the graphics, and also the combat is upgraded to something more similar to RE4.
But this isn't like an HD remix. This is like remade completely.
It's completely remastered.
Yeah, yeah. It looks like a game that would be released today.
Yeah. I'm thoroughly impressed by how good looking the characters are in this game. So it's a beautiful game.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
My confusion comes from, this is Resident Evil 2.
Yes.
Shot for shot, because I don't remember any of this. What, like, is this the one where
in
you,
the demo, it Nemesis? Seemed very shot for shot.
Okay.
And it, I don't know if it's Nemesis. I do know it's Nemesis, the enemy, I believe. Oh, no. Oh, what's his name again?
Resident Evil 2 is when you face Nemesis for the first time, I think, right?
No, that's Resident Evil 3.
Oh,
Resident Evil 2 is the prototype, I believe. Like, he's the one that the virus gets originally tested on or something. Oh, it's the little girl's dad. So what we just saw was the little girl's dad. I forgot her name. And so you're basically fighting him, and he is very much like the predecessor to Nemesis, I believe.
It looks like it, too.
It's been so long since I've played the game.
You can see it.
Uh-huh. And then, but when you play the demo, you play as Leon Kennedy, you end up in, I forgot what building it is, and you're trying to find Claire, and you're encountering some of, like, the first on-site zombies that you get a fight, I believe. And there are some cops that are still alive and running around. And it's a lot of, it stays true to the Resident Evil nature in terms of all the same puzzles. There are some newer puzzles added to it too. So it's not just like the original game. They keep to the original, but then they also add more.
So you're in. You're balls deep,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. I'm so committed to playing this game. I am definitely going to, I think this is a title worth paying full value for. And on top of that too, it's like everything you love about the classic. But if you loved RE4, I imagine you'll love this one too. So,
you know, it's funny, if you were to talk to me, I think last year or two years ago, I was very worried about Capcom. Capcom really? Made a bunch of mistakes, like in a row. Like, I believe the Street Fighter came out and it was not very good fanfare, and mm-hmm. then there's just they're like three or four huge mistakes in a row. But now I feel like they're like definitely making some good moves.
Yeah.
This whole staying true to the roots thing is paying off, and good, you know.
Well, I know with Resident Evil Resident Evil 4 was amazing. Resident Evil 5 and 6, meh. And then Resident Evil 7 was like a complete... I'm so enthralled with Resident Evil 7 because it was a complete, almost twist on the horror genre of Resident Evil. But I do like they're returning back to its roots in a sense. Even though it's a supposed remake of the original story, I feel like for those who have played the game, it was so long ago, you know, it's going to feel fresh. And then for those who never really played classic Resident Evil because they hated the way it moved, and I know so many people that don't like the way, you know, you turn, you move forward, you turn,
it
you move
is
forward.
Weird.
The
yeah.
aiming is weird. But I like this because of the timing on everything. One thing I remember from previous Resident Evil games is that certain actions trigger other actions. And so you'll shoot a zombie. You'll think it's dead. It is, apparently. It's so dead. If you shot it, it wouldn't react at all. You can't overkill it. But then when you trigger another zombie or you turn around another corner, that zombie will come back to life. And that's what makes it the one that you already killed, and it'll catch you off guard.
It's like an extra step of
vulnerability.
Vulnerability, yeah, it's, or not being sure.
Yeah, and because it's
which is
more,
the worst.
And that's the appeal of the horror element side to me in Resident Evil, because it puts you in these like less than desirable positions.
The whole game is less than desirable. You don't want to do any of this. This is terrible.
Yeah, and then
that guy has no hands.
And
somehow
then resources
he's still scary.
Are usually scarce when it comes to classic Resident Evil as well. So
did the original Resident Evil 2 have that locked perspective camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it goes, dude. Mm-hmm. This is actually super fluid compared to.
I wonder if you could YouTube a side by side comparison at all. But I invite anyone to try out the demo. If I'm sure all Resident Evil fans are already on board with this, but if you've never really gotten big into the series, this would be a really good, probably a really good introduction to trying out the game. So.
Oh yeah, that's an old
just
game.
Look at the.
What year did Resident Evil 2 originally come out? That must have been early 2000s, late 90s.
Probably early, no.
98.
Okay, yeah.
Remake
oh my gosh, why was I playing this game at 10 years old? But no, it's pretty great. Bobby, you own Resident Evil 7, but you never really got into the series at all, did you?
No, I was never into Resident Evil. Those were console games and exclusive to PlayStation when they first came out. Yeah.
And I know you're more of a mouse and keyboard guy, and I really believe that it's a good transition. I think the movement in this, especially with Resident Evil 4, should be really good for you. So if you haven't, as I was saying earlier, if you haven't played Resident Evil before and want a really good impression of what the genre can be, definitely start with this one.
I think the first one was really popular too, so I'm sure this one will do well. Deep House Jedi, thanks for the subscription.
Thank you, Deep House.
All right, one more game. I wanted to get this in here. It popped up on my Steam page, and I was like, that's a great idea. You know, I love sim games, right? So this is called Mega Aquarium, and it is a sim game where you manage an aquarium. You build exhibits, you take care of the fish.
Oh, fun. It's like Aquarium Tycoon.
Yeah. It was another one of those ideas where I couldn't believe it hadn't been done before. That's a great opportunity for a sim game, an aquarium. The reviews are not that great. They're all right, but I read some of them. They said it gets very old very quickly. There's a lot of waiting around. So I don't know. It's on sale right now for $17.49, typically $25. It seems like more than I want to spend to take a risk on this game.
Yeah, don't pull the trigger on this one.
Yeah, but I'm keeping an eye on it. Mega Aquarium, just for the novel idea.
Is it a full release or is it early access where they're going to develop on it?
This is the full game.
Okay.
Sir, our nobody's coming in anymore. We got to get a really rare fish.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. It could be good, but you never know with sim games. Like, they can really be good or bad. Like, it's such a gamble with those. I've played so many that I didn't care for.
Sometimes it would be worth it just to play it religiously for hours on end, get the fix out of your system, and then move on.
But that's the thing about a sim game. You know it's going to take, a long time, good or bad. Like, you're going to have to invest a serious amount of time. Absolutely. Before you get anywhere with it and be able to tell if it was
all
worth
it or not. All this shit's going the way, in real life, all this shit's going the way of the dodo, by the way. It's like, how can you compare an aquarium to YouTube? Like, if I was a kid, I'd just rather stay home and watch YouTube than any aquarium, I think. No?
Nah.
Yes.
You don't want to see fish for real and sharks and pet, like the stingrays, the penguins.
Nope. Why, when I can fucking be Batman flying through the fucking skies?
Yeah, but you could touch. You could pet the stingrays.
Yeah, you go to the touch tank.
Touch tank.
Can fondle a starfish.
Somebody was telling me the other day, they're like, why aren't you going to come drink with us? And I was like, because I'm about to be a fucking monster slayer in The Witcher 3. Like, I'd much rather do that. So that's just my perspective, I guess.
Yeah, how is The Witcher 3 going?
Right? Oh, we're going right into it?
Oh, we're getting right into it.
Cool. I'm embarrassed how much I like this.
Why?
And how much I'm telling people about it. Because it's one... Bobby, you kind of nailed it on the head where you were like, you definitely cannot play this to beat it. You're not in the game to beat it. This is like immersion, lose yourself, forget about your troubles, become a super badass for a little while. Like what gaming in a lot of ways is to me or has been to me in the past. You just lose yourself. You're gone.
We That's all have it. A little bit of Geralt in all of us.
We'd only hope so. I literally Googled the other day, why do women find Geralt sexy? And then most of them said it was confidence. And I was like, I just think it's because he's sexy as fuck.
Yeah, he really is
I have
sexy.
A man crush on my own character.
And he's got that bad boy thing going on.
Oh, yeah. I was on a boat at right before you embark on like this major adventure. And like 7 of the 8 characters on the boats are women. And then one of them is like, do you realize, besides this one and that one, Geralt slept with every single one of us? And then the other one's like, oh, no. Why'd you make me think of that? You know, like he gets around. He gets around. But so I played Heart of Stone, which is their first DLC. And I had a fantastic time. The voice acting was better than usual, which is already impeccable. There's a character that really reminded me. He looks like David Beckham. And the voice actor was fucking fantastic. Did you click my link, Bobby?
No.
Oh, okay. You got to stop doing that because I linked Heart of Stone, and so you'll see him right here. Gee, maybe. And so I beat The Witcher, The Wild Hunt, and I got the bad ending. I am so upset with myself. Like, so upset with myself.
How many things had to go wrong in order for you to get that ending?
I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I know it's an old game, but it's so important that I don't want to say. Like, okay, I think if you do what I did, you deserve what you get.
Oh, so it's based on moral decisions about the bad ending.
Yeah, exactly.
It wasn't because of a...
skill or like...
Okay.
Yeah. And so...
Was it an overall embodiment of all of the decisions that you made in The Witcher 3?
Yes, that's what it makes it look like.
Or is it kind of one of those like pivotal Mass Effect ending
I want to say that it comes down to 10 decisions that you did over the 88 hours as you did to get there.
All right.
Yeah. I would guess that that's what it's based on. And some have more than other. That guy right there, it's all about... So I just cut his head off. And he's like, yeah, good job, bro. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then he pulls his head back on his body. It was awesome. That character is so mysterious. It was great. I don't know how much... I can't compliment this game and the expansions enough. I'm getting into Blood and Wine next, which is... Some people have said is the best DLC ever made for any game ever. This is kind of like the redheaded stepchild. So I'll get into Blood and Wine next week.
From the looks of it, it's one bad boy, mortal bad boy fighting immortal bad boy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it comes down to. Just to kind of wrap it up. It's like a combination of like crawling up with a good book and also losing yourself and not having to worry about your problems for a little while.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm getting out of this.
Is it like... Am I correct in assuming this is a lot like Skyrim? Do you get that same feeling?
The difference is you have a character who has a personality. That's what makes it more like a novel. Mm. If you play Skyrim, you're the silent protagonist, like everything else.
The Skyrim protagonist never talks?
He never talks. You can pick what he says.
You pick his dialogue.
Yeah, but you never hear him. And having it delivered by the Geralt actor, like at first I thought he wasn't good at it, but man, he's won me over because he's so serious and so badass. Whenever he cracks a little joke, you're like on the floor laughing because like the big man cracked. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he made one little joke and he shows some vulnerability for once. So there's a lot of that going on. I'll put it to you this way, guys.
Award goes
in
to
almost every game ever. I just skip through all dialogue. In that way, I'm a lot like Minnie, where I just like skip. Quest marker. In The Witcher, vital dialogue is yellow. Everything else is extra. I'm clicking on 80% of the extra dialogue because it's so well written. And because I want to know more about the backstory. That's how good this is. I'm the guy who doesn't listen to this shit. I don't read this shit. Mm-hmm. And that's how good I, or how much I'm into this. Oh, this is Blood and Wine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they really up the colors. And it seems like you're in a fantasy. You go to like their version of France and where everything is like perfect. But I haven't got that deep into it. I can't wait.
He's got a new haircut.
Yeah. Well, you can go to the barber and have your hair cut any way you want, anytime.
Mm.
Yeah, very colorful. A lot more color in this.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. I discovered a cool little series on YouTube. I had forgotten about this until I wrote it down here. It's called War Stories by Ars Technica. So I discovered this just because I happened upon this video of one of the developers talking about some of the experiences making Dead Space, and it was a really good video. Here it is.
Yeah, I feel like you mentioned it last week. Or
well, we weren't here last week.
Week before last, you asshole. Anyway, go ahead.
It does feel like forever ago that I found this. But the video I watched was How Dead Space, Scariest Scene, Almost Killed the Game. They've got these clickbait titles, but don't let that fool you. Each episode is about 10 to 20 minutes, and they're just behind-the-scenes stories of the development of games, and they're super interesting. The Dead Space one was fantastic.
What was the scariest scene? The one with
that was the one where the tentacle comes out. Like, that was a really hard scene for them.
Out of the person?
And no, it just comes out of a hallway, it grabs you by the leg, and then you have to, like, shoot it off as it's dragging you.
Oh, that's the scariest scene?
That's what they said is the scariest scene.
Oh, okay.
I would agree with that a little bit, because you totally didn't see it coming, and when it happened, it seemed like it was just a cut scene, so my initial reaction was just, you know, hands
let
off a keyboard, let it play out, but then I was like, oh, I can control my character, and then you have to shoot, like, right in the joint to disconnect yourself from it. But it was a real, like, they had to reanimate so many things for it, and they had to figure out how to get it to work, and it just took them months, and they had to cut other things for it. But that's only a small part of this episode. There are so many good stories in there, and just him talking about the design of the game and how they created certain things. And I forgot how great of a game the first Dead Space was. It was so good. I mean, that was just unlike anything else. It kind of still is unlike any other scary game out there. Just the way it looks so cinematic, where they did the health bar and the energy bar on his back, and the
way
that
it had no UI, correct?
Yeah, it didn't really have any
UI. Beautiful. I love that.
And the ebb and flow of movement and combat and discovering something new and not so much conversation or story, you're basically alone. I feel like with a lot of games like this, you're stopping so often to pick up a data pad and reading it and all of that. But with Dead Space, I really appreciated how they just let you move the fuck on.
Yeah, and those holograms that popped up when you were reading those pads, that was done really well. And the same the way the inventory system was handled.
Yeah.
It was just a very well-crafted game. And they kind of ruined it in the second one. But hey, that's when EA picked it up, right? When they made the second one?
Yeah, the second one.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wasn't as good as the first, I don't think, but I haven't beaten the second one. I just know with the first one, I don't know if I played it in one sit through, but I wouldn't be surprised if I did, just because it did enthrall you completely.
The second one's a lot shorter, but the tone is totally askew compared to the first one. The first one really had that slow buildup. It felt like a horror movie. It felt very much like Event Horizon, if you've seen that movie. Mm-hmm. You know, there's
that's what they were going for, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. And they talk a little bit about that, how that was somewhat of an influence. But the second one, like 2 seconds into the game and people are getting eyes gouged out and screaming and yelling. And it's just like they go 0 to 100. Like they just, there's no buildup.
So Alien 1 versus Alien 2.
Not really.
Right. What do you mean?
Because that would be saying Dead Space 2 was good. And it
oh, gotcha.
Really? I mean, they just turned it into a generic action game. Like, you know, we don't have enough of those.
Is ours technically, is this their only series that they have?
I'm sure they have other stuff. They're a famous news outlet. They do a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like I've heard them before.
Yeah. There's all sorts of articles on their site. I think mostly hardware related.
I want to just point something out. Bobby loves hearing about game developers going through hell. It seems like. Well, like, it seems like it's your kink.
I like experiencing, or I like hearing about the process. It just, I, not because it's hell, but
more often than not, it was anyway.
I mean, right. Developing video games is not easy.
Yeah.
It never is. And there's no set way to do it, which is crazy. They're like, everyone knows how to make a movie or make a TV show. They've been doing it the same way for the last like 50 years, but there's a million different ways to make a video game and none of them are wrong. And it's just, I don't know, it's a very grueling process no matter how you go about it. Nobody has ever been like, hey, let's make a game. And then like, oh, we came in under budget, you know, or that didn't take as long as I thought it would. Like that has never happened ever in the history of the world.
Well, no, I think it does. But you get a skewed perspective because the most interesting stories are the ones where the boat almost sank. Some games, I'm sure, just kind of like everything went smooth. But who wants to make a documentary about that?
Maybe.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. It's maybe like, the games aren't that notable if they're that easy to make, though.
It's kind of like why everybody is just afraid in general. Because just on the news, you just process negative stuff all the time. And stuff, you know, happy news, you don't remember. It's just that's how humans are built. Anyway, that's a deeper thing. We'll keep on moving on.
Yeah, so check this out. It's called War Stories by Ars Technica. They've got a couple of, I think they only have 9 episodes, but they all look great. I've only watched 2 of them so far, but How Serious Sam's Demo Saved the Game from Extinction, How Thief's Stealth System Almost Didn't Work, How Gamers Killed Ultima Online's Virtual Ecology. Lots of interesting stuff there.
How Fortnite Broke Your Child.
Oh, God.
I actually went to a comedy show this past week. And the comedian was a 40-something-year-old gentleman who was talking about how him and his 14-year-old son had a lot in common. And as soon as he said that, I was like, what, Fortnite? And he goes, we like the same video games. I'm like, yep, they're playing Fortnite together. And then he also made a joke that they wore the same size clothes because he was a smaller gentleman as well. But it's interesting. I don't know much else about the fact that then that's enough about Fortnite for this entire podcast.
Yeah, we've never really talked about Fortnite.
We never really got into it.
One of these days I'm going to play it and I'm actually going to have something to say about it. But I don't know. I'm not in any hurry for that.
Yeah.
I will talk about the audiobook I've been listening to. So, oh my God. Like I've been thinking about what I'm going to say about this all week because it's just... I don't know. It's so much information in this book. So the book is called Assassination Generation, Video Games, Aggression, and the Psychology of Killing.
I think you've brought this up once before.
Yeah, I brought it up when I bought the book. I am about 3/4 of the way through the book. I should have it finished by next episode. I can give my final thoughts on it. But this game is about the effects of violent video games on kids and how they influence... But mostly it focuses on school shooters, minors committing act of violence against other minors and how that is on the rise. And of course, there's lots of information and studies and, you know, going into this, I wasn't really sure what to expect. This guy has written a lot of books on the subject of violence, especially violent media.
Yeah.
He was on that whole when Trump had that... what was that? That some panel on violent video games. Like this was one of the guys that attended it. And that's how I first found out about
it. He was
him.
In that new Gillette commercial.
Gillette commercial?
I guess it's breaking the internet, the toxic masculinity and the Gillette commercial.
Gillette razor.
No, I'm not aware of this.
Is this really the best a man can be?
Yeah.
It's a controversy revolving around a Gillette commercial and how... well, yeah. Bobby, we'll have to see the YouTube video later, but yeah.
Okay. It's a thing.
It's a All thing, right. Bobby.
I don't miss not knowing about these things. Yeah. So anyway, this book is pretty heavy. I mean, it's accounts of just all these heinous acts being committed throughout the last, I don't know, since the 70s. So apparently there wasn't any documented cases of a school shooting or a kid shooting another multiple kids until the 70s. So he's claiming that, you know, this is a result of violent entertainment, particularly video games. And, you know, he's got all sorts of statistics to back that data up in the studies. But if you go online and you look up, like, do violent video games cause kids to be violent? It's just like the Google results are seriously like study finds no link between this study finds there's a link between this. And it's just back and forth, back and forth. Mm-hmm. Why is my phone talking to me? Stop that. So a few interesting things that I'll point out with this. So he says that violent video games, first of all, he's talking about the effects on children, not on adults. Because the whole time I'm reading this, I'm just like, I'm trying to keep in mind, okay, he's speaking about children and their influence on children. And, you know, I work with kids. They're a lot more impressionable than people think. Like, the things that they take in are really, you know, those are very formative years, those adolescent years. So, you know, I've got an open mind towards this. But he talks about conditioning. So in the military, they used to have soldiers train with circular targets, and they found that they didn't, in combat, they weren't firing as much as they should be. So what they did is they switched the circular targets to human-shaped targets, and they found that during combat, soldiers were way more likely to pull the trigger on a another person.
It's something like 35% of soldiers never fire the weapon. It's crazy. Like, they don't, they just feel scared.
Just naturally non-violent.
Scared and don't want to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's not a natural thing to kill another human person.
That you don't know or be mad at.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they talked about how the military started using this type of conditioning and then he talks about how video games do just that. You know, just repeatedly with stimulus, training people,
desensitizes people, perhaps.
Well, conditions them, but then also desensitizes. And really, no game was safe in this book. Like, he brought up every game that you could possibly think of: Dark Souls, World of Warcraft, every Blizzard game in there, the Call of Duty series, the Resident Evil series, like everything.
And specifically, what was wrong with them?
Yeah, he does talk in detail about some of them. Now, there's always, whenever someone like that speaks about video games specifically, you can tell that they've never played the game, because there's always a few things. Like, he talks about, he's reading the manifesto of this dude who went on this rampage, and he was apparently a WoW addict, and he's reading parts of his manifesto, and he was speaking about parts of WoW and about how he would go around killing his friend's characters. And I'm like, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he was on a PvP server or something. I don't know. But especially...
Maybe he was checking for respawn.
Possibly. Maybe he started a character on the other side and it was a PvP server. No. I don't know, but...
I don't know that story. I'm sorry. Very bad jokes. Pretty awful.
But I don't know, man. Like, what do you guys think? Because I'm not going to have kids, so this really doesn't even pertain to me. And I think of my own upbringing, and my parents, they tried pretty hard to shield me from any sort of violent entertainment, be it movies, music. My mom would, like, she made me throw away CDs, I remember, and video games as well. Like, they didn't like me playing violent video games, for sure. But I would always find a way to somehow be able to play those. And I played, you know, a lot of the Doom first person shooters, those types of games. But
here's my take. We're talking about boys. It's never a woman that goes on a rampage and kills a bunch of people. So we're talking about,
if there's any recorded or documented female
mass murder.
Mass murder.
So we're talking about boys for the most part. If there wasn't any mass murders before the 70s, I would imagine it's because there were probably wasn't assault rifles that were available before the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, well, he says probably right about when that was available to the public, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, he says military grade weapons have always been available, and they were even more available back in the day. But then again, military grade back in the 70s,
you get them on the internet now. It's way different. My nephew was telling me he orders AR-15s, which is legal as long as it doesn't come with one part. But then you order that one part from another site and you have an AR-15. That's how
they work around the system.
That's how easy it is.
Yeah.
He builds them and then sells them. Oh, that's what he does. Yeah.
Okay.
Not my last name, by the way. Don't look that up.
Oh, gosh.
And so basically it comes down to, I think, three options. Does killing in video games, one, ramp up violence among young boys? Two, get some of that aggression out? Because that's another option. Like, oh, geez.
Like a healthy way of,
because guys are just pent up fucking fuck monsters. They either want to fuck or kill. That's just how
they are. Some women are too.
Yeah, that's true. Gee, we don't talk about how much you've been fucking lately.
No.
And three, I guess some other perverted way that it might just show them things that they didn't know about that they might be interested in now. But I don't know. So I don't think it's one, two, or three. I think there's a mix of there. And of those, I think more likely it helps you get your aggression out. Or get their aggression out. Like,
More pissed off after I play video games.
Yeah,
well, you're playing MOBAs, team-based.
But to the point MOBAs. Of violence, Bobby?
No. Like,
yeah.
No, but I don't know if people really use that as like an exhaust valve or release valve. Like, it's never been like that.
If we were going to take Chi into example, it ramps you up, right? You get upset.
Oh, yeah.
Really upset.
I get emotionally upset. And I recently, the last CS game that I played, my mic wasn't working. And it ruined my entire match. Just one thing, because I couldn't play the game. And I'm known for raging constantly and being a sour gamer in general, if something's not going my way. But in regards to violence in video games, and I remember when I was younger and we would have those freestyle writing projects, I would almost always gravitate towards researching and trying to find any correlation with violence in video games and violence in people. And I am a very firm believer of like how little video games influence those like those darker intents of somebody's character to actually expel it into an actual, like, especially when there are referencing mostly just mass murderers. You know, there are so many different forms and degrees of violence, and there are so many different influences, or it's just someone could have the most sheltered and pampered upbringing, but they could just be born a sick, demented fuck. Yeah. I think a lot of it is, and by the way, I'm not sure if you guys saw in the news, somebody just genetically spliced a baby.
Oh, yeah.
And in China. So it's like, it's just one of those things where it's so underlying. I don't believe wholeheartedly that it just video games itself conditions evil in a person.
I don't think so either. Well,
there's certainly a lot more factors to consider.
As a fan, obviously we're going to kind of side on the side that it doesn't, right? I think, I mean, that's the way I just naturally lean towards, no, it doesn't cause that. I would think weapons are getting way crazy. Howard Stern said this a long time ago. He goes, I think 200 years ago, there's a crazy guy that took a knife to the market and try to stab everybody. And that was just a thing that happened. But he could only kill one or two guys before he got his ass beat. Now it's an assault rifle. How many times, you know what I'm saying? Does that make any sense? Like, the same amount of crazy, way higher death counts. Because the technology has advanced so much.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Everybody understand? That's what I'm thinking, what it is, more than anything. Yeah, and video games, I really don't know.
A coward can shoot a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a hero to stab somebody.
I don't know. He also talks about, so the part that I just finished, chapter 7, he's talking about...
You're not done with this game? We're going to hear about this next week, too?
If anything, if there's anything more worth mentioning. I mean, it all seems a little repetitive, but he does bring up some issues with the ESRB and PEGI ratings, too, which have... I remember when those first came out in the early 90s, and I was concerned, like, oh, this is going to make it more difficult for me to play the games that I want to play. That ended up not being the case, because that whole system's kind of a joke. I don't think anyone really pays attention to that. I mean, obviously we don't, but if you guys were buying games for kids, is that something that parents even raise an eyebrow at? Like, oh, this is rated mature, or...
I think it really depends on the parents themselves. I was raised in a very... uncensored type of,
because they weren't hands-on about what games you were playing at all.
Oh no. I mean, we were just talking about how I was playing when I was 10, Resident Evil when I was 10, and it's mostly because of my big brother's influence,
right?
You know, and I was definitely bullied by my big brother, but I honestly don't think if anything influenced some violence, it was some WWF and some WWE, because my big brother, he wasted me with all of these like practice moves, and just for the hell of it. I remember I was probably just laying on the ground chilling, playing video games, and then out of nowhere I would
people's
get
elbow
tamed or people's elbow. It was just awful. He never pulled hair. But he definitely, like, I knew firsthand all these WWF moves because of my big brother. And then when we played the game together, it was just a giggle fight all over and over.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're not experts. We're just some people talking. We can only speculate.
Yeah, there's only different.
This is a super.
Yeah.
This is a super heavy topic. And Bobby, thank you for bringing this up. Because I like
tackling the real issues.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like my brother ever threw a fireball at me. Or
no, I've
like
always... That.
Like, homeboy, like, he, you know, he did the clothesline. He did, like, you know, the lion tamer. And what else was there?
I don't even know what the lion tamer is. Can you explain?
Stone Cold Steve Austin-y. I don't know. It was just like, you know, there were so many boys. Oh, no, I don't know. It's not just boys. I mean, it's just, but yeah, there's a lot that influences violence, not just video games.
Are you glad you asked those questions, Bobby?
Asked what questions?
You know, putting the general's opinions towards us. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to read this book for a while ever since
I heard good reviews. I feel like
if you read the reviews, I mean, it's who you expect. It's a lot of concerned parents and stuff. And I don't know. I think there needs to be some, like, if you were a parent, like... It would probably be wise to monitor at least what your kid's taking in, because you never know, man. Like, I don't know. I think there's definitely some kids out there who probably shouldn't be playing some of these violent games, but you never know. Like, that's the difficult thing about this. Like, literally everybody plays video games. Like, everybody does. So when you start saying, like, oh, well, you know, this guy shot up this place, he played WoW, or this guy played Diablo, you know, then it's like, well, yeah, everybody does.
Yeah, so does 80% of men, or whatever it is.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, the real scary part about it is, what does it even matter? Like, even if this dude is 100% right, and yeah, video games are like this horrible scourge on our youth, like, it's too late, dude. We're not putting that back in the bottle.
It's making so much money.
Yeah.
More than movies and music combined.
Yeah. And even that, too. Like, if you're going to talk about just violent media in general, movies and music, it's just like, there's no turning back. So I guess we're just all screwed.
Yeah.
All right, what else do we have here? Ring of Elysium. I've noticed a lot of people playing this on our Discord.
Yeah, they're getting together, because I think a lot of it is because it's free, and you can just pick it up. And the other thing is, it's very user-friendly. I've played probably 5, 6, 7 games, something like that. So this is a PUBG clone, if you will. A lot looser, way less technical. So killing and winning is always going to be difficult. But the shooting and the... Pretty much everything is easier than PUBG. Shooting people, killing people is easier. Everything's easier. But obviously you're going up against other people that are doing using the same mechanics. It's a lot looser. It's a lot more arcadey. It is the Ace Combat, if you will, of Battle Royale. And I don't know why they're showing fucking deep sea creatures. What is going on here? Is this the same trailer?
That this is so Ring of Elysium. This is the only video they have on their
I guess because it's happening on an island. They're showing like sea monsters. I don't know. That's super weird. In the season one, this is really interesting. I really like the idea. In season one, it was a snow mountain, and you can you have your pick of three kits to begin with: pistol and a hang glider, pistol and a snowboard, or pistol and a rock climbing equipment. Now you can't even go to that snow map anymore. They got rid of it completely. Season two is now a new volcanic island, flying Hawaiian kind of area. And so now you have a BMX bike. You have a grappling hook, which seems OP as shit because you can Spider-Man around. You can go to the top of a coconut tree and just shoot people from there. It seems really broken.
Oh, my mom used to do that, but with her piss.
What?
I'm not even kidding you.
She used to run up a coconut tree and then pee on people.
Yeah. She's third world country Asian. She would troll people. Okay, you think I'm a troll? My mom's the original troll. She would climb coconut trees, yank down her pants, and wait for passerbys to walk past her, and she would make it rain urine on their heads. And they would never know because she was like stealthy and... Yeah.
That is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
My mom is such a badass, yo.
That is so good.
I get everything from my mama.
You should introduce her to season two of Ring of Elysium. She'd be like, oh, this? I invented this. Yeah. It's so hard for me to recover from that. Sorry. Reason. Thank you, buddy. 9 months in a row. I can't even believe we were doing this for 9 months in a row. That's crazy. Yeah, okay, cool. Guns, okay, bringing it back. It is very, like, the recoil is not crazy. It's very arcadey. Pick up and play. You'll learn this in two runs. There's guns everywhere. Not the best guns, but you will be kitted out within 2 minutes. As opposed to PUBG, you'll never know when that helmet's going to come. Like, who knows? The RNG might fuck you. The RNG is not going to fuck you here. It basically comes down to tactics and movements and aim. So I think that's why it's really appealing to a lot of people. And, you know, you can ride snowboards and it's fun. Yeah. And now you can ride BMX bikes.
I definitely can't wait to try out Ring of Elysium. So Elysium is a beer. Elysium is the game. So I just haven't found myself in front of the computer very often, except to get in a quick CS game here or there. Oh, speaking of quick CS games, can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
I had played my very first... I have had my very first experience getting high and playing video games this past week. So I am not... I normally don't smoke. In fact, I'm so horrible at smoking, I can't stay awake for it. I literally will lose consciousness probably within a 20-minute window. But I was hopeful this time around. And, oh no, the video's frozen. Oh, well.
Yeah, let me try to restart it. Keep going.
You could still hear me, though, right? Anyway, so regarding this experience with getting high, I didn't take edibles. I actually used a... am I allowed to talk about, like, the kids don't do what I'm doing or whatever? We're in California, so smoking is definitely legal. I bought weed from a legal store. I bought a bong, and then I took it. Are they called totes? Toasts from the bong. And so I was like, okay, let's play my favorite video game in the whole world. I can't wait for this experience. So we load up Counter-Strike Go, and I had just eaten, but I remember having this insatiable desire to just stuff my face again. So what I did was, mid-game, I was starting to lose interest like by each and every round that was passing, I was losing more and more interest because I was just like kind of losing myself. I was falling asleep. I wouldn't say it was a good trip. I won't even say it was a trip. I think my experience with it was that I was falling asleep, and it was that moment of fighting sleep, but so desperately so because I wanted to finish the CS match that it wasn't enjoyable. Mm. So if you've ever, it's reliving that first moment of consciousness when your alarm is going off and you definitely know you did not get sufficient sleep.
Oh yeah.
And
I can do 10 more minutes.
Yeah. Hit the button. Yeah. But caught in that very first shit feeling. Mm. And then having that last for an entire CS match.
That's a good way of describing it.
Huh?
That's a good way of describing it.
Yeah. So smoking weed and playing video games was not good for me. I could barely communicate with my teammates. And when I did, I was very slow, almost slurred. But the good thing about Steam Client is that I actually ordered a pizza through the web browser mid-game and got it delivered before the match was over. Nice. That's how long these CS games go for.
I think it comes down to the person and your physiology.
Yeah.
Because some people get jazzed up with weed. Some people go to sleep with weed. Some people think about space on weed.
Yeah. And or some people feel like they're flying sitting down on weed, and I don't get that. So what happened was I got the pizza. I put it on the floor. I went back to my computer. There was literally probably 2 rounds left, and I just fell asleep.
Like at the 2 rounds?
Yeah. I fell asleep, dang. And then they actually... I think I dropped out from timing out, or they kicked me because it was very obvious that I dropped out. Anyways, needless to say, I will never get high and play video games again. So.
And then this is when like a.
And this is my anti-drug ad. This is my anti-drug ad. It's not worth it, kids.
This is when a pothead would be like, Did you have indica? That's all the fucking same shit. I think it really comes down to the physiology of the consumer.
Yeah. So it's just one of those things where it does nothing for me. It really doesn't.
Bobby, you want to talk about some dark days? People are asking me so much that you open up about you. These are from multiple. They're like, why was it? Somebody said to put it perfectly. 3 people have approached me about you opening up about your dark days. One of them says, I wish he was a podcaster during the dark days.
Oh,
it wouldn't be as glamorous as you'd think. Yeah.
I like that, like, because I'm the community manager or whatever. I could just make up how many numbers people, 57 people have said that I'm gorgeous. You guys wouldn't know that, though.
So, Chi, you also revisited GameSync in their new location.
Oh, yes.
How did that go?
I almost wanted to push that memory out of my mind. So, if you don't recall... my horrible video review of the original and only video game center in San Diego. It's GameSync. It's a gaming center. And Bobby and I went and toured it for the first time together. And needless to say, as much as I wanted to be impressed, I was under-impressed because...
Wait, of 2.0?
Of the original GameSync.
Okay, and how about
and
now?
And then coming out to their second center. It's
which
not,
is where?
It's,
what area?
They had closed their original location and reopened. And it is in Claremont, okay. Asian Avenue.
Yeah.
And so I went here and I drove past the building. It's very inconspicuous and small, and it didn't have a storefront or anything at all. It was almost like it almost felt like a speakeasy for
it's
gamers.
It's called a soft opening, gee.
And I sincerely don't want to slam the Land Center, but I absolutely have to. This
Do
is
it.
My angry Yelp review for GameSync 2.0. So I went and had a great time. I went there. I got exactly what I wanted. Let's start with the good and then move on to the bad. Got exactly what I wanted. Paid $6 per hour, I think. And I bought 2 hours worth for peripherals and so I can land with a friend. And so.
You pay a little bit extra for like headset and stuff?
No, everything was there. Everything was set up. But here's the thing. My experience from first walking in the door, first thing I see is a trash bin, like, you know, where you like dump your food and everything else. So it's a giant trash bin. Like pretend you're at In-N-Out or something and it's where you go dump your food and put your trays up. Completely full, overflowing, and there's literally dirt and it looks like, I don't know. It was like, you know how if your baby gets its hand in its diaper for the first time and it starts flailing it along, sure, around the room.
That
was like my first impression looking, yeah, at this trash bin.
Unnecessary gore.
Yeah. And then the smell was
sweating.
No, it was doo doo. Like, so much to the point I changed my Steam name to doo doo. It was fun though, because when I went in, all I could do is just when we went in, we got to use the house Steam accounts. So I was playing CS:GO as a silver one and as an unranked player. So we just went in there and we like pub stomped because we were smurfing so hard, yeah, with the Land Center accounts. Yeah. And so it was fun. I had a good experience, but at first we couldn't even sit next to each other because none of the computer, there were probably 15 computers, 10 of them in commission. And so if you went in there with somebody, it was rare to find a seat, an open seat side by side. And then at the first computer I was set up for was right next to the restroom. So I literally could sit there for 10 minutes and then had to, I said, I can't, my eyes are burning. Like, all I smell is doo-doo. And then, oh God. and I swear I said doo-doo.
Was this coming from the bathroom? Where was the smell?
Yeah, it was all, it had engulfed the entire room. So,
and nobody else seemed to mind. How many people were there?
So I would say eight people.
And then you two?
And
or six then you two?
Probably six and then us two. Okay.
How many can they
house? I would say there was probably like the capacity for the actual venue is probably good around 80 people, maybe.
80?
But yeah, it's a big area, but then
they only have about 15.
There's only about 15 computers set up, and then some of them weren't even playable. Like they were, I think some of them were under repair. Wow. But no, it was like very, it was worse than, it was like setting up and
that's
like,
why we don't the creepy guy's them, basement. Gee.
Oh my gosh.
There's a reason.
But yeah, that's like, it was like,
so next time I don't use my computer like 90% of the week. Just send your boy over here or you or whatever. Mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you stay at home or whatever.
Yeah. It was definitely, it was fun because we enjoyed the games we were playing,
and then
the setup was just fine, you know. But I couldn't get the smell of just it, like there was such a rancid smell. And
she works at a dive bar, guys.
Yeah,
and she was complaining about this game center. Game center should be cool, like literally, like the temperature should be cool. You should have to like wear a jacket. They should be cool because that keeps the air fresh. You don't want nasty air in there.
Yeah.
It should be clean. Uh-huh. There should be snacks.
Yeah.
And there should be no crumbs anywhere. That's like what I think of.
Yeah.
Like it should be very,
this
like,
is very much the opposite. Yeah. This one needed some major TLC. And it's funny because after moving away from the chair that was closest to the restroom, I moved to a chair where somebody's BO was so bad, it wasn't even an improvement. So it was not the best experience. I'm not going to go out of my way to go to that Land Center once again. And I honestly, sincerely know they could do so much better.
Yeah.
So much better. But there's actually someone, Deathwish.
He's back over there?
No, but he probably can, like, we should probably get him on for an interview. He could probably, like, he doesn't have to go deep on disclosure, but he would, like, he could kind of give us an interesting, because he was a volunteer at GameSync, so he could give us some interesting
he
stories.
He was one.
Yeah, was. All right. Past tense.
All right, moving on.
Sorry, I didn't have anything positive to say. I was not the only female there.
You said you had a good time.
She was playing League. The other girl was playing League with her boyfriend. Mm.
Of course.
And then I was just giggling nonstop, repeating the word doo-doo.
Is that when you were high?
Like 500 times. No.
Oh.
No.
I wish you'd say Stone, Realism, PUBG. Oh, PUBG. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. PUBG played the new map. PUBG is so weird. Literally, we gave it Game of the Year 2 years ago or 1 year ago, Bobby?
I don't know. I wasn't in support of that decision.
Yeah. Me and Chad kind of like... No, I don't know how it went down.
I think last year, all of us were like, PUBG. No.
Not all of us.
No. I was Divinity. And you and
Chad, I think we're, or not Chad.
No, Mini. We're PUBG? Or no?
I don't know. Whatever. Oh, gosh. Somehow PUBG won. And it's weird because PUBG was in a really good spot right then and then took a nosedive, just like really bad. And then now they're kind of like climbing back up and I feel like they're doing okay. The new map is really cool. It's like this, I don't want to speak out of turn, but it, obviously every one is out in a different country. This one's like in like a Polish country, I want to say. And it's a city full of amusement parks. So no matter where you land, it's like a different amusement park. There's like roller coasters and like castles. And so it's very fantasyful, I guess. Fantasy-like.
You could definitely have a real-life battle royale in Disney World.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
That was sure. an all-day excursion.
Or paintball.
Yeah.
If they open that shit up for paintball, it just wouldn't be worth it for all the cleanup, I guess. But yeah, that would be a perfect place.
Yeah, can you imagine sniping through a Disney line?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I mean, you know. when violent video games influence violent thoughts. Don't listen to that.
People still think that, their net code isn't so great. I'm not that good of a player that I can tell whether or not net code is good. I don't pick up on those kind of things. So it seems to be in a really good place right now. Or let's say a better place than it was last year.
It's attracted some return players.
Yeah.
That's more so than I think
we talked about it 2 weeks ago. They went up over a million concurrent players again. And they were down to like 600,000. So that's a lot to gain back 400,000 players that you had lost. So
it's helpful that with so many battle royale games sometimes to have an enjoyable experience, you have to drag your friend to play with you too. So,
And that's, I didn't say that about Ring of Elysium, but I think there's a lot of that. I think it's just kind of like, it's so casual that just hanging out with your friends is fun. Kind of like DRG. Mm. Like even if you lose, like I had a good time.
Yeah.
That's why I like Ring of Elysium. And Enter the Spider-Verse. I saw the movie with Sam and Mila and it's so funny. I'm 40. She's 32. Yeah, I got that shit 8 years younger. Yeah, I got it. Anyway, and her daughter. And I have to like review things like fun for the whole family kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And totally 100%. I loved it. Sam walked out of there is like, you know how long it's been since I saw a movie that good?
Oh, I was going to see that too.
It's so good.
I couldn't convince someone to watch it.
Bobby, real quick, click on the link that I provided, please, for the first time. I just wanted to show you the style. So it's computer generated, but they put those dots in it of the old style of
like comic
books. Yeah, you can see it from time to time. And they just did a really cool art style. The story was great.
It's kind of like the Street Fighter, what was it, 4 comic?
Yeah.
Animation style in a way.
It's fucking fantastic. It's such a good movie. Don't be afraid because it's an animated movie and it's Spider-Man and you think it's for kids. This is good for anybody. The soundtrack was amazing. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Sunflower.
This might be my movie of the year so far.
I've heard really good things. Some movie critics that I follow have actually said this is the best Spider-Man movie, even taking into account the original ones.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Must see right now.
Yeah.
I'm going after this.
It's fucking great.
What's the latest? Oh. It's late.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because you showed up at 12 p.m.
I'm sorry.
All right, time for news. Let's talk some news here. Oh, my God. There we go. Steam. All right, first up, 9 new features for Steam in 2019. So Valve's been talking about some updates.
Finally, Bobby, everything that you said about them never making changes.
Well, let's see what these changes are.
Oh, my gosh.
The first one is like whatever.
Store discoverability. We're working on a new recommendation engine, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Steam is coming to China. They're going to have a special version for...
Like, who cares?
Steam library update. This is what I'm most excited about. Long-awaited changes for the Steam client will ship, including reworked Steam library built on top of the technology built in Steam chat. New event system. Let's see, highlight interesting activities in your games, like tournament streams or weekly challenges. Steam TV, we're working on expanding Steam TV beyond just broadcasting.
That's what you said, Bobby, right?
No, I was talking about something else. I was saying they need to become like Netflix or a service provider. But their Steam TV is their broadcasting system. It's their version of Twitch, basically.
Can we read that thing about the new event system?
We're upgrading the event system in the Steam community, enabling you to highlight interesting activities in your game, like tournament streams or weekly challenges.
Okay.
I love this. Can I read this one? Mm-hmm. Steam Trust, the technology behind trusted matchmaking on CSGO, is getting an upgrade. And it's going to be a full Steam feature available to all games. I think that's amazing that as a client update, they're actually making a huge upgrade to their anti-cheat.
Yeah.
So is this like back for like more games?
I trust these people. You click.
Yeah. No. I think, I don't know what they're going to do regarding that exactly, but they have tried little things here and there, prime matchmaking, and then trusted matchmaking is just the overall term for like anti-cheat matchmaking. And so I know trusted matchmaking, everybody has a certain trust factor.
Oh
yeah. And I forgot how it works,
but now they're going to even,
but go. If they're going to improve it, that would be great.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm.
And then Steam PC Cafe program. So something that will help you be more secure if you use your Steam account in public, like at a PC cafe or center.
A huge reason to why I didn't log into my Steam account is that if anybody on that computer used any cheating peripherals and it linked it back to my Steam account, then I would get back banned.
That makes
sense. So that's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet a lot of that has to do with Korea, because they really have a lot of LAN centers. Like it's a happening thing to do over there. Bobby, does any of this blow your hair back? Besides the library being like something past due.
Yeah, the Steam library update. It really depends on what they do with that. There were some leaked screenshots. I think we actually showed them a couple.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. 3-4 months ago. I don't know. I mean, Steam is still just going to be something that I occasionally open up to play a game or two, but I don't really see myself using it as any sort of social networking site and or like broadcasting platform or anything.
They're
like
too late. They could have been all of this.
Yeah, but Origin wouldn't have gotten me a pizza to my front door.
That's true.
Nor a B-Nut.
But back nor way Discord. Back in the day in EverQuest, I mean, you know when EverQuest in its height, I don't know what years those were, but you could do /pizza/pizza and order a pizza through EverQuest.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
This is way before WoW.
Imagine.
Years before WoW.
Imagine an app or an overlay that would just be your Amazon hot button for food pizza. Or something.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really need one-click pizzas, though. I mean, can't you guys just open up Chrome and
think of the Koreans, Bobby?
Yeah,
they're dropping faster than flies.
Old man, Bobby. I don't know. I don't need instant pizza. I can wait one more minute.
Pizza in one click.
I don't know if there's a type of food that would be considered a Korean pizza. Maybe.
No.
How?
I don't think so. Maybe.
Sushi.
Oh, that's not even Korean.
Yeah, but they eat a lot of sushi.
Oh, my gosh.
No, they don't.
Oh, my gosh, Bobby, no.
Koreans don't eat a lot of sushi?
No.
No. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
No.
Okay.
Actually, Koreans look at the rising star, the rising sun, the red dot, you know, from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
That's their Nazi symbol. That's how bad they don't like.
Really?
Yes.
Because I remember reading an interview with an esports player, and he's like, favorite food, sushi.
Well, maybe now. Well, he's a kid. I don't know.
I mean, but we didn't like the Japanese during World War II, and they Americans love sushi.
Everyone loves sushi.
Korean barbecue. Do they have that in Korea, or is that just something they have?
Have you had that, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Korean barbecue is I love a it. Thing. Have you been to K-barbecue? Oh, yeah, you do. You just answered that question. Yep.
Okay, next up, Hearthstone players surveyed about esports just after the hot scene is killed. So this came out a week and a half ago. apparently, I believe this happened in Korea, players were getting random messages from Blizzard surveying them. And one of the survey questions was, how much do you care about the esports scene? Or would you continue to play this game if there was no esports scene? So hinting that maybe Blizzard is considering cutting the Hearthstone esports scene, which I don't know why they would. It can't be that expensive to run. I mean, maybe the prize pool, but you know, compare it to Heroes of the Storm. You know, you got five players on each team. That's and Hearthstone is just 1v1. Yeah. So you know, booking hotel rooms and paying for events can't be all that expensive.
Maybe look. If I feel like a numbers guy really looked at all the numbers and they're like, we're spending this on esports and it's bringing in, esports is bringing in this much. So yeah, we're going to cut esports on HOTS. And then they were looking at this one and they were like, well, we're not quite sure, but I can definitely say of the Hearthstone players that I know, none of them watch the esports.
Yeah. And I don't think
the money comes from the esports
big in general.
Yeah.
It does seem like one up there. Like, even going to BlizzCon, Hearthstone is always it's the least played up. Even less than Diablo 3, I would say.
Yeah.
And I don't even think that's just my interpretation of it, but I could be wrong. Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe they'll axe the esports scene there, but I would be surprised. Hmm. All right. Next up, Bungie splits with Activision, keeps control of Destiny. So this is some hot bit of news that broke
about
a week ago.
Like,
standing in gaps.
When you break away from a company like that and being able to retain a name like Destiny, like,
well, they weren't actually bought by Activision. They had a contract with them.
Subcontract, probably, yeah.
They had a contract with them for 10 years, and I think that started in 2010. So, you know, they broke it 9 years, pretty close into the contract. It probably won't be too bad for them. But Microsoft actually owned Bungie for a while, and I think in 2007 they broke away from Microsoft.
So now they're going to be their own independent developer.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have they aren't contracted with a nobody really knows what this means, because who knows how much Activision was actually requiring of them or telling them what to do or how much power they actually had over them. So it's hard to say what this will mean for the future of Bungie. They'll have less resources going forward, but they will have more control over Destiny.
Maybe they'll make it a better game.
Well, you know what? I think the game actually is a lot better from when I used to play it. It just mm-hmm. needed a lot more content, and I think I stopped playing right before the second DLC came out, and I don't know how many there's been since then or how many big updates, but I think Bungie was satisfied with how the game did. Activision wasn't, and they were vocal about that, but it's, you know, everyone's saying like, oh, great, good for Bungie. Hopefully Blizzard can do the same thing. But Blizzard is a lot more in bed with Activision than Bungie was. You know, they just had a contract for 10 years. But I don't think people realize
Blizzard got bought out straight up.
Well, Blizzard and Activision are owned by a holding company called Activision Blizzard.
Oh, I see.
So, and that the CEO of that is Bobby Kotick, who's I think he's the CEO. He was the CEO of Activision for a long, long period of time. The man famous for his article. There's some interview where he said he's not interested in making any game that isn't a franchise. And this was back before, like, that's all we ever knew was games as a service and games were all franchises. Like, he was one of the first people, like, but he's been known to publicly say a lot of things that we all know that CEOs think, but he just comes out and says it. Like, there's some other famous quote by him about, you know, basically all he's concerned with is the bottom line with games. But
Flying Hawaiian says Activision is basically a brainstem tumor for Blizzard at this point. It's not going to
removed
anywhere. It's not getting removed anytime soon. Yeah, it feels like a thorn in the side. But who knows? Who knows what's going on behind the scenes, man? What happens at those fucking boardroom meetings? What are they talking about? It's not people having fun. I'll tell you that.
It's like winning, it's like marrying someone and then also inheriting like the, not the, the bad mother-in-law or something like that.
The family
like,
money and the yeah. family curse.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, World of Warcraft Stan Lee tribute gives him a job in Stormwind Keep. So they did this with Robin Williams. They, mm-hmm. I think they've done it with other people too, but,
oh, why'd they give the old frail guy, man? That's fucked up.
Does he have a mustache? I can't
see. He's got a human head, but Excelsior. An undead body.
His name should be called Excelsior.
Maybe he says that.
Yeah, probably.
Let's see. Visit Stormwind Keep in World of Warcraft's PTR, and he might come across a new guard wandering around the palace, occasionally talking to himself. Yeah, he does. He exclaims, Excelsior.
That's awesome.
Cool. Yeah, it's cool that they do that. It's cool that they memorialize people like that, especially significant people in the nerd fandom like Stan Lee or Robin Williams, who was an avid gamer most of his life and a big fan of World of Warcraft.
I never knew Robin Williams was a gamer.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, yeah. His kid's name is Zelda.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Let's see. Epic Game Store brings refund policy in line with Steam. So this is just another tidbit of news that gets piled onto the whole Epic Game Store. And it is more and more becoming comparable to a lot of the other alternatives out there. Mm-hmm. And they've got that. They've got Fortnite leading the charge, too, which I think is the most important thing about this. Like, everybody already has this Epic launcher because of mm-hmm. Fortnite. It's such a smart move for them to start offering other games and being, you know, giving competitive cuts to distributors. Like, everything that they're doing is just like, I mean, I don't really care either way, yeah. but it's a smart move on their part.
I don't recall the first time I downloaded the Epic Game Launcher and for what game. I don't think it was for Fortnite, but I do know that it's the only launcher where I've gotten constant emails of someone trying to access my account, and I don't even play any Epic games. So it's really discerning to see that happen. So I just don't feel as secure playing on that launcher.
Yeah, that sucks. I installed it for Unreal Tournament, I think.
That's deja vu, by the way. I feel like I've said this on the podcast before.
Hmm.
Maybe I was Amelia drunk. Who knows?
Possibly.
Yeah, and then Cricket Soldier in chat just went, my Epic Games account has been hacked 6 times. I would hate to overinvest into a launcher where all of my shit is going to be stolen and robbed from me. That would be awful. Whereas I had literally never had any issues for my long-standing, over 15 years account with Steam. It's insane.
Steam used to have a really bad problem with accounts getting hijacked, though.
Really?
Yeah, there was a period of time, maybe about 5 years ago, probably a little less, actually, where people were sending out links, sending messages, and the message would have a link. If you clicked on it, then it would hijack your account. They had a huge problem with it for a while there, I remember.
Is that called phishing?
Yeah, I mean, they were phishing for accounts, but you don't use two-factor authentication on your account?
I do.
Oh, you do on your Steam account?
I do on my Steam account.
Yeah, you need to for trades, at least if you want to trade without the one-week waiting period, which is why I ended up doing it, and I assume Epic has something like that as well. I am just in the habit of using that on anything that I can.
Actually, I don't do the authenticator on my account. I only use the Steam verification, which is naturally embedded into the client anyway. So if you log in via cell phone or new device or new IP, then it asks you to verify via email your account. And that's by default. So that's just no.
So you don't go to your Steam app, get the little code, and then put that in?
They just send you a code via email like most other places do. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I don't do that. No, it's not necessary for me.
Yeah, probably not. If you aren't trading items or selling anything in the Steam store, and then you probably don't need to. Okay, let's see. DRG 2019 roadmaps. Too bad Emilio's not here for this. He'd probably want to talk about this. I've still been playing a good amount of Deep Rock Galactic. kind of been hitting that point where I feel like I'm getting a little saturated with the content, but still enjoying myself. Let's see what they got for 2019. Difficulty 2.0, new enemies, weapon mastery, weapon skins, mods added. This is for February. February anniversary celebration. 1 year. Wow. It's already been a year.
Wow.
And then March and Beyond is daily adventures, new mutators, Steam achievements. They don't have Steam achievements. I never noticed that. Exploration mode, lore terminal, new enemies, base rig overhaul, new mission type, boss encounter. So still a lot more content coming.
You could definitely count on DRG to be constantly integrating more. And then not only that, giving you extra reasons to come back and feel like you're still playing more or less the same type of game mode, but I feel like there's so much more going around you that it does feel almost like a new experience. We're talking on the updates of the roadmap for DRG. Amelia, do you have anything?
No, I just kind of like that at a certain point, they just have a bunch of question marks. Just like, maybe around March we'll do this, April, May. Like they're not giving themselves a strict schedule because that's when you start letting people down. You know what I mean? Our game's going to be out in March. Now we have a delay. Now you made people mad. So they're being realistic.
Yeah.
And they, for the most part, kept to their word on the last ones. They delayed one more than they expected to, I believe, on 2018. But whatever. Like, at least they're in it for the long haul.
Yeah, they've been very consistent with updates. And I'm wondering when they plan to release the official game, when it's going to be feature complete.
Who knows, man? They better do timeline. Something really big for it, too, to regain interest. I mean, other than the DL gaming bump.
Yeah.
All right, last bit of news. EA cancels an open-world Star Wars game.
Yeah, so that's basically, he just nailed it. That's it. There's not a whole lot more to this. Right, Bobby? Unless there's just,
You know, the article that I read really didn't say much more than this. The project was codenamed Orca. It was an open world game. Apparently, they're working on another game. And so canceling the work on this Star Wars game has allowed them to focus and make more progress with this other Star Wars game, whatever that may be.
Bobby, do you think that Disney buying the series was something bad for Star Wars?
No, best thing that ever happened to it. One of the best things that ever happened to it.
Wait, but you haven't, like, except for one of the movies, you haven't liked...
No, I liked a lot of the movies. You've enjoyed them. I've liked quite a bit of the movies. But it doesn't really matter. I'm not talking about, like, oh, I like... I mean, are we talking about what I...
You're probably talking about the longevity of the franchise.
Who else could hold that title? Do you know what they were doing with with the Star Wars IP before Disney bought it? They were remaking the prequels in 3D. I went and saw The Phantom Menace in 3D. And then as soon as Disney bought it, they're like, yeah, fuck that. We're not doing that. We're going to do something with the IP. So, right. Yeah, it was a great move by them. And Disney's really the only company that can support an IP that big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck, dude. My point of contention right now that I'm just thinking, boiling over here is like, I really, and you believe this too, I think Solo was a good movie, and internet trolls like brought it down. I don't know what happened there.
It's a movie for Star Wars nerds. Like, it's like, oh, it's the part where he meets Chewie. Oh, it's like, oh, that's what happened to that part of the Falcon. It's an escape pod. Oh, this is where he meets Lando.
Feel like people outside of Star Wars weren't interested?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things. I felt like the Darth Maul thing was a little forced, but other than that, I don't know. I really liked it, but it... Excuse me. It has the same problem that all the new Star Wars movies have, too, and that is they're just too damn long. But even the original movies are like, what, 2 hours? But they don't feel like 2 hours. They go by pretty quick. But all these new ones, there's just so much action. It's like Transformer movie action, too, where it's just like shit blowing up and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you know where everything's going. So I don't know. Maybe that's me just being old.
What about this? I just had this thought, maybe. So... when Star Wars came out, people were like, what the fuck just happened? Like, we've never seen anything like that. When Return of the Jedi came out, people were just like, this is the greatest. They were so the novelty factor was huge. Now you got every movie with all the superhero movies are doing special effects to that level. Like they're, it's very hard to wow anybody anymore. The last time I was wowed visually, okay, Into the Spider-Verse. But that's artistic. Before that, it was probably Lord of the Rings when I saw Gollum, because he looked real to me. But that was it. Before that, you got to go way back before I was wowed.
Avatar?
Yeah, Avatar probably. Yeah, good one. Yeah, that was probably it. I don't know which one was first, Lord of the Rings 1 or Avatar?
Lord of the Rings 1, definitely. Avatar was like late 2000s, 2008 or 9.
Yeah. The Sharknado 2 says Flying Hawaiian. I think he... Were you dipping on the vine, dude? I think he was.
All right. Time for some listener questions. Hopefully you got all of them. I forgot to check.
I got them all. Okay. I got all the ones that look like questions. All right. There it is. Kratom. I told you. I thought it was a vine.
I'm sorry.
Thanks,
really
Cricket.
Really quick, though, when you were looking at that last news article, did you see the one that says GameStop was going to be acquired as early as next month? Do you know the details on that?
By whom?
By whom? That's what I want to click. Yeah, I want to, because if you guys don't know this about me,
you used to work there.
The lump sum of my...
Can you look it up?
Look what up?
Who's buying GameStop?
I worked for GameStop for 6 years.
Yeah.
From 16 to 22.
You became a manager, no?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of their youngest managers, and I really, really invested a lot into... GameStop, working for GameStop was fun. I have no complaints, other than the fact I was like overworked, underpaid, but it's whatever. And that's retail for you. I loved working at GameStop. It was a lot of fun. But it looks like they got bought out. But we don't know by whom.
Looks like people are shopping.
Maybe they're going to make a new land center out of it that's actually clean. And not doo-doo land center. I'm just kidding. But yeah, thank you for clicking on that article. I was really curious to see. But there's no hard facts on that quite yet.
No.
It's kind of like when Blockbuster was... It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. Everybody's moving to...
Like most malls are shutting down anyways, I feel like. Or like only half of the mall is open because half of the stores can't be filled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, for sure. Fucking Amazon.
All right, first question from Warconius says, excited for Atlus JRPGs on PC. Any experience with the Persona series?
Mm. Nope.
Where's Mini? We need him.
This is... Yeah.
I like JRPGs too. And the one you're highlighting, this one is the classic Catherine. It's been selling really well. Atlus is most notably one of the best RPG developers out there. They know how to develop characters, stories, animation is on point, combat is on point. I've never played the Persona series. It's one of my major bucket list items. I've played plenty of other Atlus titles, and it's very far and few that I don't fall in love with them. The one that's really hitting it off right now is classic Catherine. Catherine was a PS3 title, and you basically play I forgot his name, but he basically cheats on his girlfriend. And he has to go through basically.
So the everyday man.
He's juggling, he's juggling like all his guilt or just like the drama of trying to date two women at the same time, and it's more or less it's like a vertical tower puzzle game. And it's timed and it's challenging and it's interesting, and I never beat the game. But it's really good. It's really good. It's not your classic RPG at all.
Listen, I dated two women at the same time. It's nothing like a tower puzzle game. I will tell you that.
Oh, it's got a very unique type of like twist to everything because it's Japanese art. It's not just Japanese art, but like they can tell the story in the most unique way possible. It's fun.
Bobby. It's on our Discord on the Hangout. Can you throw that up?
Oh.
It's two babies and two DLG onesies.
That's the cutest thing you've ever seen.
You make cute babies, bro, by the way.
Who is that?
That's Cubic Zirconia.
Cubic.
Yeah. Hopefully his babies aren't fake. His name is.
Aww. Boom.
There you go. God damn, you're so lucky to have twins.
That is so cute. I love it.
That's so nice. Yeah, we have onesies, you fucks. Yeah, I know you have babies. Start buying some shit.
I'm very confused by this video. So it seems to be looping the same video.
It's so weird, right?
And then it cuts to Battlefield 5.
It looks like Call of Duty and then anime and then Call of Duty.
Yeah.
I guess they're listing a lot of different Atlas titles. So.
Oh, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's two parts to this question. So the other part to Warconius's question, your thoughts on emulation. Legality is questionable. When do you guys think it's okay to emulate games? Whenever you feel like it.
And
it,
no.
Why not?
Okay, so.
The legality of it, sure, you could argue that, but really what it comes down to, is there any other way that you're going to be able to play a lot of these old games?
So there is. It has to be an old game, and then it makes it okay, right? Because if you were.
What's the highest level that you can emulate, an N64?
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised if you could. But games that I'm going to emulate, yeah, they're going to be like Nintendo, Super Nintendo, right. Sega Genesis. If you
Nobody
go on
could
Steam,
possibly make that money off of those titles anymore anyway. Like, you couldn't even buy those titles, I don't think.
Yeah, but if you go on Steam, like if I were to look up Sega Mega Drive Classics, like that's actually just an emulator. And when you play these games, it actually loads an emulator. You have to map keyboard controls and everything, and it's basically just a legal emulator. It's got a bunch of great Sega games here too. Streets of Rage 1, 2, and 3,
Toe Jam and
Fantasy
Earl.
Star, Toe Jam and Earl, Golden Axe, like all the good Altered Beast. Yeah, great games there. So you all can actually Echo legally buy awesome. some emulators out there. But the last time I used an emulator was, I think I was playing Donkey Kong Country. Just because that's such a great game, still holds up.
I tried to get Breath of the Wild going, and that is questionable because they're still making tons of money on that game.
Oh, so, yeah. Well, that's, yeah.
And I couldn't get it to work, so it didn't matter. And then I got a Switch, and now I'm playing it, and I don't know. That's not what I thought it would.
Yeah, and if you do own those systems, like, I understand using an emulator, too, just because you don't want to mess up. Like, if you have a working NES, you probably shouldn't be using that because
it's
knows?
Worth more the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, thank God for emulation. I think the latest emulator I was ever able to get was an N64, and I was trying to play like Shadows of the Empire, but I don't know if you can do, you can do, newer consoles, because we were just talking about like Breath of the Wild.
What is that? Nintendo Wii U.
A Wii U,
okay. But it's also the Switch. It's very confusing.
Game Boy, GBA.
It's on both.
And wait, Breath of the Wild, was that on PlayStation as well? PlayStation Original.
What? No, it's a Nintendo title. It's Link.
Oh,
Zelda.
Oh, Breath of the Wild. Yeah. I'm thinking Breath of Fire. My apologies.
Or Fire Emblem?
No.
Breath of Fire.
Breath of what?
Give it up, Chi. All right, moving on.
Ghost Nico, a couple of suggestions for the new host. How about getting someone remotely not from San Diego and use the Discord talk feature like you did with Mini, or have a fill-in over remote until you get another replacement that is local? And no, I am not volunteering, but maybe someone from the Patreon pool or a moderator.
So I thought it was funny. Right under that comment, the words nope were spelled out with the little whatever. The
icons.
And then that was multiplied several times. So, yeah, nobody wants a remote. It's just, it doesn't work. I can't look at somebody's face. It doesn't really matter. Bobby could be remote because he has no emotions anyway. His face does not change.
Well, there's a very different vibe. The very first time we tried to do this show was all of us just sitting in our respective homes and recording.
All of us
online.
Being me and Bobby, right?
Yeah, that's all there was at that point. Yeah. But yeah, it's a total different vibe, and I think that's one thing that's unique about us compared to a lot of other podcasts out there. So many other podcasts do the remote thing, and I think it I don't know. It works for some people, definitely not for us. Yeah.
And Wyatt says Shadow Master should live with me and be a co-host.
I would love to, hopefully.
There's no lock big enough.
Comes around.
There's no lock big enough that I would put on my fucking bedroom door.
I still regrettably am sad I never got to meet Tag Lauro. So.
Oh, yeah, miss much. Moving on.
Maybe he'll be back.
This is what I do. I take our play, our listener base, and I just pull their balls off. That's what I do.
Curd the Ape asks, what are the three of you going to do to curb your toxic masculinity in 2019?
I have horrible, like, rage. I'm pretty awful. I was just explaining earlier how raging I am.
It's all those violent video games,
I know, it really is.
I feel like it's cathartic for you. I feel like this is how you get your emotions out. I feel like you play really video games to get emotions
out.
It's
a great outlet.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful outlet.
To the detriment of your teammates
and
who are there to win.
Certain relationships and... and like my
her eyes just opened up really open.
My education and like yeah. no but honestly toxic masculinity in 2019, I would love to practice being more patient. I think that's about it.
Yeah, you would like to, but are you going to?
I would
there's no way you're gonna be 50 and be like, rah, fuck you guys. There's no way, right? You're gonna calm down at some point.
Yeah,
I don't think it's gonna be this year.
No.
I have calmed down quite a bit in general, but I will not stop being a man. I'm a man's man, God damn it. I wipe my ass with my hand and wash it in the sink. Bobby?
I don't know. I'll stop playing violent video games, I guess.
There you go.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think I really play that violent video games to begin with, now that I think about it. Not anymore.
We're getting older, dude. I'm telling you, that's what it is.
Yeah.
We can't keep up with these young blocks and their aiming abilities.
I don't think it's that, though. Like, honestly, first-person shooters are so boring now. I mean, when you've been playing them for the last 25 years.
Yeah, they're boring when they fucking... You get your ass handed to you every single time.
Hey. I somehow keep the spark alive for one particular first-person shooter I've been playing for the past 15 years.
I love them.
So.
I think they're great. But yeah, I just like... I prefer the single player ones now where I can put on easy and just coast through.
Next question, again from Curd the Ape. Why would Activision or any public gaming company prioritize anything above bottom line using all legal means necessary to achieve their goals?
I think what he's kind of trying to defend the business aspect of what basically we were talking about, like Activision, are they ruining Blizzard, all of that stuff. Like, basically, yes, they should be trying to make as much money as possible. Correct. But also, there are, in my opinion, I'm just going to start talking. They're looking at next quarter and not 5 years from now. It's all about next quarter because of the investors. And you have to, every quarter has to be better than, you have to always make more and more and more and more profit. But what about brand loyalty? You just lost Bobby. I'm not making a joke here. If you lost Bobby, or if Bobby's even questioning his allegiance, how many other people are questioning their allegiance? And how much value can you put on that? Bobby spent $3,500 on HOTS. $3,500. And guess what? The next HOTS?
Where are you getting this number from?
Shut up. Bobby, can you fucking back me up for one time?
Well, it's just an oddly specific number.
That's what I had calculated by all the hints that you had laid
down. It's probably pretty accurate,
okay,
actually.
Thank you. Okay, cool. $3,500.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you put... Yes, you can put a value on that because of how much you're going to lose, but brand loyalty is infinitely valuable. Because it'll last until Bobby is fucking 60, 70 years old. But if you alienate those people and you lose those people, it's not the $3,500 a year or $200 or whatever, however you... It's just... You're just worried about the next season or the next quarterly report. And that's why they're doing errors, Curd. It's not that they're doing bad business per se. They're doing bad long-term business.
You think it's a little short-sighted.
Yeah. Stop taking my 75 words and put them into three words, please.
Just trying to clarify for the last
time. It's almost like a relationship with Blizzard at first was like missionary with eye contact and
right.
and deep kissing.
Yeah.
And then Activision comes in and it's just straight up.
Ain't like, on no loop.
Yes. Yeah. That's a relationship you don't want to be in. And yeah.
I mean, it's not like a game company can't make a good game under those circumstances, though. Because if you look at Activision, they've still got games that a lot of people are buying and a lot of people are playing and a lot of people are enjoying. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, I don't know.
Say that I was right and you agree. For sure, right? Activision's looking at next quarter. Blizzard was looking at making people happy.
Well, I think it's not like they're completely ignoring the longevity of their profits, but that's what we'd all like to think right now. We'd all like for Activision and Blizzard to do terribly in the near future. To
no, I don't. I want them to be colorful, and I want orange drops in my next game that they haven't announced a new IP. You know. I don't know.
What?
I love that, you know, in every game they have the same thing. Green, blue, mm-hmm. purple, orange.
Yeah.
I want to get orange drops in some new IP. But is that what they're going to do? Or are they just going to keep putting out fucking mobile games? Are they switching to mobile because that's where the money is?
I don't know, man.
Dude. They're going to follow the money, dude. They're going to follow the immediate money.
Yeah. So what? Chinese mobile games?
Yeah.
It's more like a wait and see, but I don't like what I'm seeing right now.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. So, wait and see, and I don't like, yeah.
I don't. I'm not too bent out of shape about it. I mean, honestly, if they make something I like, I'll play it. But other than that, like, I don't know. I'm kind of over Blizzard in general. Like, I have no desire to go to BlizzCon I really don't feel like part of the Blizzard community anymore. And that sucks. But at the same time, it's like, well, they're a business and they're just trying to make money. So, you know, whatever. And that's it for listener questions. All right. What's everyone doing next week? Probably, I don't want to promise anything, but I'm really looking at Return of the Obra Dinn. If not, definitely more HOTS and Deep Rock.
Yeah. Bobby, why are you ignoring every one of my advances to try to play video games with you?
I have not played that many video games this past week. Right. So in combination with being super sick, after reading this book, it was talking about how it takes like 2 days to detox from games. So
you're trying it out?
I was like, I'm going to give video games a break and see what happens. And I don't know if it really counts because I was so sick I couldn't even play games.
Let me tell you, you're way less violent.
It's not like fucking gluten. Oh my God. Have they linked gluten insensitivity to violence and mass murders?
People are like, I haven't had my muffins.
I'm just hangry. Oh my God. No. Oh my gosh. Fire me. Oh my gosh. Fire me, please. No, so bad. Let's,
So, Chi, what are you doing this week? Are you going back to GameSync?
No, that's a big, hard no. But it's interesting.
If you show up with, like, some spray.
Yeah, bring the candle.
I'll just bring one of those.
Campfire donut.
It's like a campfire and a donut.
Yeah, that's the one good smelling thing in this room.
That is good.
Yeah.
Hey, but fuck you, bro. No, I'm not a good smelling person.
Anyways, so this last week was interesting. I had different experiences with the same game, but I do want to try to get some co-op experiences in this upcoming week. I can't promise that I'll be streaming yet, but I feel like I'm going to be ready to just get more gaming and come
forward. By the way, when you are streaming, the shit looks sick, professional as fuck.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looks really good.
I don't forget, I've been doing it for 5 years.
Yeah.
So it's.
But you got it where you wanted to be, so do it.
Kind of, yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm not streaming. My secondary monitor broke, so I got plenty of others. I just got to replace them. I just haven't done it. Bobby fixed my audio, I think, right, Bobby? Did we get the bottom of that?
Did we get that mic fixed finally? Holy shit.
Jeez, yeah. And it was just...
it was one setting.
One setting.
It was set on telephone quality.
Yeah. because I went in there and said it on, like, why does that shit happen? I might have an extra snowball. Do you need one, G?
No,
you got a good mic.
I have a great mic, yeah.
Besides that, Blood and Wine, Witcher 3 is coming up next. Guys, I have to apologize for how much I'm gushing over this thing. It's one of these things that for me it transcends video games. It's just like one of the best things I've ever done.
I really hope I have that experience with Cyberpunk.
I can't see how you couldn't, dude.
I've tried so many times.
I'm so much more excited.
I've tried a few times with The Witcher. It just is not happening.
But, dude, so I paid 44 hours, and I wouldn't say I was in love, and I got stuck because it was a game-breaking bug.
Yeah.
Returned once, played a little bit, still didn't get hooked. And then this last time, dude, it was just like a whirlwind of like emotion. Like,
that's how it always happens too. Like, some games just need multiple chances before they click.
Yeah. And you know what? Timing. Cause, last week, so when I'm talking about The Witcher, guys, I played probably 25 hours last week cause I wasn't working that much. It's been slow. So I played a shit ton. And so I had the time, plus maybe my mood was right. And it's like a combination of all these things. It's like, anyway. All right. So until next week, speaking for Bobby, Chi, and myself.
Don't do
more drugs. And no mini titties. Bye-bye. I meant mini del macho, not small. Damn it.